B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Stan Musial. My heart would have been broken if Stan the man had ever been traded for any reason. We no longer live in the Musial or Williams era. Players have rights they should have had when Stan and Ted played. At one point, Stan thought about going to Mexico in order to be paid his value. He was offered $175,000 over 5 years to play in the Mexican League when he was making $13,500 a year. The Cardinal owner went to Mexico to try to stop it.
Stanley F. Musial, swinging Stan the man. He's the man that thrills the fans, swinging Stan the man.
Stan the man.
He was better off at the picnic table. It had a folksier, more conversational atmosphere in years past. That table, that's a bad place for him. Needing the speakers.
Really him talking in general doesn't work very well, but I thought speaking off the cuff didn't work for him. Apparently writing down his thoughts ahead of time also doesn't work for him very well.
Wow. So Dan Shaughnessy really down on the Red Sox right now. And you can read his column today, and you can also, maybe you heard him with the first two, three, maybe four questions yesterday at the press conference. I mean, he was up there right up front and asking. But the question remains, when are we all going to be able to focus in again on baseball? How long does this hang over the head? What type of start does it take from the Red Sox this season to kind of like have this go away? Because there's no end in sight.
No, there's no baseball season, Hardy. 2020 is not a baseball season. This is a year where the Red Sox are punching bags, and they deserve it. Like they're telling their fans they're punting on the year. So now we got to pay attention to your baseball season? No. You trade the MVP to save a few bucks and you get back a guy with a broken back? No, you're telling us you don't care about this year, so we shouldn't either. There's no baseball season. Not for me.
I just wonder if the fans are going to react the same way. So far, according to like ticket sales and everything else that they were quoting yesterday.
Ticket sales are down 15%.
I don't know if
they were down more last September. So you're coming off a bad year is the point.
Coming off a bad year.
Ratings were down last year.
Raising ticket prices.
They raised ticket prices, yep, which Sam Kennedy made sure to tell us was a plan. That was a plan ahead of time. Well, they had that all planned out.
It was a goal, not a mandate.
Yeah,
they ended up accomplishing the goal of raising the ticket prices.
Yep, no, they made sure to raise ticket prices on you while, giving you a watered-down roster this year. So, yeah, all of that. I've been saying for a while, I mean, if the Red Sox are good, which I don't think they will be, but if they're good, at a certain point, fans will, I don't say they're going to forget, but they'll certainly forgive and go back to watching the team and showing up to the ballpark. If I were a fan who was, thinking of investing my time in the Red Sox, I'd wait until they prove to me that they're a viable team. I'm not showing up opening day or really April. Take April off. Enjoy the Bruins and the Celtics the beginning of the postseason. And then if the Red Sox are still good after that, then tune into the Red Sox. If they're not, you didn't waste any time. I would make the Red Sox prove to me they're worth watching this year.
And it's tough,
because spoiler alert, they're probably not.
Well, to draw a correlation and an analogy to the Celtics, they replaced Kyrie with Kemba, and Al Horford went away, and Brad Stevens said from the outset of the season that his goal was for this to be a likable team. I just want people to like us and like the way we play. And, be a fun team to watch, which is, I think, more easily accomplished in basketball. You can show something night in and night out, and you don't always have to win. In baseball, it's tougher because the game, by virtue of the way it's played, is not as entertaining. You're not going to get the same type of, fun factor that from a regular season baseball game that you might get in a regular season basketball game. But beyond that, just with the personnel, just with the guys they got, and just with everything that's happened between, Mookie being gone, Alex Cora being gone. And how much fun are they right now just on paper? Is this a fun team? Are they going to have fun?
The lack of David Price makes them a little more likable.
It does.
I'll give them
you're
that.
Right, you're right.
But are they fun? No, they're not fun. I'd contend that, were they even that fun last year with Mookie Betts, who supposedly is like a fun player?
It was such a down year. It was such a letdown after 18.
And just to continue with what you said about the Celtics, like, yeah, they wanted to be more likable and they made that a clear mandate. Brad and Danny also took like blame for what happened last year. Like, they also said we both could have done better. Like, Danny's taking blame for it. Brad's taking blame for it. And I'm sure that's not an easy thing to say, but they came out and they took blame for what happened. The Red Sox haven't really taken any ownership of what's gone on. So I think that's a difference too. But yeah, they weren't fun last year. They're even worse now. They were an 84 win team last year, I think, 85, whatever it was. And now they're worse. So, you know, the win total might be slightly better, slightly worse. I think they're roughly going to be the same. But, you know, I don't think there's any juice or buzz or energy around them. And I don't get why there would be. I don't know what would get people to show up to the ballpark or even go through the motions of clicking the remote to turn them on the TV. I don't get what draws you to them.
It's going to require just absolute standout years from J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts, and Andrew Benintendi is going to have to elevate. And, you know, these are the guys that are going to have to become the faces of the franchise, because the face of the franchise just lost or just left. You know, he was the guy not only on the field, but as the image of, you know, what you wanted this team to be in terms of a marketable team and a likable team and a successful team. There's your guy. It's Mookie Betts. He's the one, the homegrown talent, the MVP, the guy who can get it done. Now you're going to have to try and replace it with, you know, a collection of guys who are trying to get it done, and you're going to do it with a rotation that I don't know how that's going to work out. I think you're being generous by saying, you know, give them through April and see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be April, but like, let the team prove to you they're actually worth watching, because right. I don't think they are. I'm not spending money on tickets to go over there or wasting my time watching them. Like, I'm not going to do that. If they prove to be good, I'll get on board like everybody else will get on board. But what I would caution against, and it sounds like people aren't doing it, at least in terms of the numbers down at spring training, I would caution against just blindly saying, yeah, well, it's the beginning of baseball season. I'll support them until they give me a reason not to. Like, they've already given you a reason not to. They don't believe in this baseball team this year. If they did, Mookie Betts would be playing in a Red Sox uniform.
Do you have a problem with that team going over the salary cap? I know that there seems to be this unholy alliance between owners where they all decided that none of them were going to go over the luxury tax, excuse me, not salary cap, but luxury tax threshold for more than a couple of years. You know, this is something, and they've said this, you know, owners around the league have determined that, you know, the best way to do this is to not go. There's no rule against it. It's just going to cost you more money. It's going to cost you a higher percentage, not on your total payroll, but on the money over the luxury tax. I mean, other than John Henry's gas money for his boat, I have yet to hear a compelling argument as to why they need to be under that luxury tax threshold.
Because people will tell you it impacts you in the draft, which it really doesn't. It really doesn't impact you all that much in the draft. It's not like the Red Sox are drafted well anyway. So they may want to focus on spending on the big league roster anyway. But I think people will tell you that it has an impact on the draft, which I think is at best misleading and certainly overrated. And yeah, I mean, I guess the more you spend now and the more money out of pocket, maybe the fear is there will be less money to spend down the line. And at some point, they'll have to correct anyway. So you might as well get in front of it. But I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Like, in the meantime, while you have an MVP candidate, why don't you try to win? And then if you need to take a step back in the future, then go ahead and take a step back in the future. But right now, while you had a team that last year we all thought should have been a playoff team before they fell flat on their faces and you're returning much of it, you should have tried to compete now. And if that means 10 or 20 million less for John Henry, which is legitimately nothing, if it means 10 or 20 million less out of John Henry's pocket this year, then I'm okay with that. I think fans would be okay with that. It's up to John Henry. It's his right. Capitalist society, like, he can do whatever he wants, but we're allowed to push back on it.
That's what Ben Affleck said. It's a capitalist society. That's why Tom Brady should go after the most money.
Yep.
All right.
Doesn't have the integrity.
Are the phones working? Because we were just informed, like, last segment, that the phones have not been working all morning. Hmm.
I think they're back working again.
I don't know. I just saw somebody pop up and then go away. So I'm reluctant to give the phone number out unless the phones are working.
Give it out. Let's see.
617-779-0985. Yeah. We'll see if they're working next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me. 1, 2, 3.
Good morning.
Hit me with the horn, Tony.
Do we have speakers?
Keep making noise. Keep making noise.
This morning, I'd like to begin by...
Yeah!
Can you all hear me? No. 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 No.
Here we go now. Here we go now. Here we go. Here we go. Let me clear my throat. Oh. Have mercy, babe. Ha! I hope you don't mind.
No.
Let me clear my throat. Here we go now. Check it out.
No. No. Can you all hear me? This morning, before answering your questions. And can you all hear me?
Somebody make some noise in this joint, man!
No. We don't have... Do we have speakers?
Oh, they had speakers. And speakers and reporters and the owner and the Werner and the Kennedy and... What you talking about? Quite a day down in Fort Myers yesterday.
Everything you could possibly want. Yeah, besides, you know, like... answers that made sense, but besides that, everything else you could possibly want.
I guess the phones are working here, Jones. You want to try them?
Sure, love the phones.
First call of the day. We haven't been with that. I've enjoyed my chin wag with you and McCone so much. I haven't even noticed.
It's flown by.
We haven't even taken a call, but we're going to take one now. Dennis in the car. Go ahead, Dennis. You're first up. Believe it or not, 2.5 hours in. Zolak and Bertrand. What's going on?
So glad to be first. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
My comments are, you know, Shaughnessy gets all over these guys, the owners of the Sox, but haven't the owners of the Sox earned a mulligan or two or three?
Three.
They've.
I think three.
Well, they've spent to the max many, many years, three World Championships, even if they're completely wrong about this parade.
Four.
Haven't they at least earned... I just, you know, when you look around baseball, you know, the Giants are about the only other team with as good a record over the last 20 years as the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, I have a theory on why that is, but go ahead, Hardy.
Dennis, thank you for the call, and I see Jones's furrowed brow, which leads me to believe he's inclined to disagree with you. So let me back Dennis up on something. It's not out of the ordinary or uncommon for a baseball team or teams in general to have what are essentially reset years, you know, bridge years. Mm-hmm. The contention might be is that they are being dishonest about it, to put it kindly. But to Dennis's point, I don't like the word mulligans. Yep. I like, yes, aren't they entitled to reset after spending to the limit after many years? And
sure.
What he said are three, really four World Series championships going back to 2004. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Why don't they deserve that, Adam?
They're entitled to it.
They're entitled to it, Adam.
But I don't know that, A, this is the year to do it, and B, if you're going to do it, just tell us. Like, don't do it, then lie to us about it. I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. And I would not call them good owners. I would call them successful owners. They have been successful. They're as dysfunctional as can be, and they always have been. Like, even when things were going good way back when, Theo's still storming out in a gorilla suit. Like, that's still happening, even when they're winning. So I don't know if
they're... Tomorrow McConeism, not great.
No. I don't know if they're good owners. They are successful owners. You can't argue with that. But I don't know how good they are. They seem to fall ass backwards into World Series, which I don't know how they do it, because everything they do is exactly like yesterday.
I tell you what they've done, which I myself don't care as much about, but a lot of people do, and they take it for granted now. They've done well with Fenway Park. They've done well with that entire area, and whether or not they've got some deals, maybe that talk about stuff you don't deserve. Maybe deals they didn't deserve from the city, and some ways to go about doing things. They got it done, and they kept the park up there. And Fenway, the way it is now, I think people forget what it was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty dumpy, but it's not anything compared to the dump it was.
The whole area.
Remember the Petroffs? They got rid of those things.
I worked up. You could throw a Frisbee from the BCN studios and hit the side of Fenway Park. And let me tell you something. There is no reason to be down there for anything other than work for me or a game. Nobody went to Fenway for anything. Why would you? Now it's an actual destination.
Sure.
There's reasons to go down there, and a lot of that has to do with ownership. I'll give him credit for that.
Dave Matthews.
I'm not talking about the concerts. I'm talking about Sweet Cheeks. Okay, I'm talking about one restaurant. But there are other restaurants in there that people like.
Yep.
People with more sophisticated palates than me.
Sure.
There's restaurants, there's shops, there's stuff to do.
Yep.
And a lot of that has to do with the ownership standing by the park and doing what they had to do with the city. And that, okay, I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, they
I'm not going to completely kill them top to bottom. People are going to, and I think this is what Dennis and other callers might be railing against, is say, like, you know, these guys suck. They're the worst of all time. No, they're not. They're not the worst.
No, they're not the worst.
Not by a damn sight.
What they should know is what makes them successful is when they spend. And so when they're not spending this year, which they're not, you know, they're trimming payroll. So are they still top five in baseball? Sure. I wouldn't call them cheap, but, you know, they're trimming payroll this year. They're scaling back. And so I don't know how they'd possibly expect to be successful doing that. Like, if you're going to win in baseball, you have to spend. There is no cap, right? There's a luxury tax, but the teams that win generally, and there are exceptions to the rule, the teams that win generally are the teams that spend. So it's not all that hard to be owner of the Boston Red Sox. You're rich. You set the payroll. You spend at the top of the league. Boom. The results should roll in. You can act like a bunch of clowns and not know what you're doing. These guys have proven it, and you win World Series. Just spend on the team. So spend on the team. Don't trim the payroll like they're doing from a year ago. It's pretty easy.
I think I heard you say the other night, too. It's like, you know, you're the Red Sox. You know, you're, what do you want us to, you know, be the top 2-3 in spending? Yes.
Yeah. No, you should be. Yeah.
Every single year.
If not one, you should be two.
You're one of the most,
maybe three,
valuable franchises in all of sports.
Yeah.
You don't get to be that and not spend.
Yeah.
Just the two don't go together. Bill in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Bill. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I want to know why they didn't re-sign Brock Holt.
Why didn't they re-sign Brock Holt, Adam?
McCone?
I'll go back to you on that one.
All right.
Because he stinks?
All right. Bill.
I go with because he stinks.
Nice guy, nice player.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Not a nice player. Nice guy. You like him.
I don't particularly like him all that much. But yeah, I mean, people seem to like him. That guy liked him.
Could you name a person that you like?
Yeah.
Other than family.
Oh. Well, that's a different question now, isn't it?
I'll
think about
outside,
that.
Outside, and I'm not saying you like me or McCone, but just like, think of somebody out there that you like. An actor, an athlete, a musician.
No, not really.
Bill Cohen?
Yeah. I do like Bill Cohen. I do like Bill Cohen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's one. By the way, you got one mulligan. Multiple mulligans. This is starting to bother me. Eric says they've used them anyway. Go ahead, Eric. What do you got?
Oh, they've already had them.
Hi, man. So the guy that called in about the three mulligans, I have three for you. Tom Crawford, Pablo Sandoval, and Jose Castillo.
Ah. Yeah.
They should get mulligans. They should get mulligans for those.
Do we have to have a conversation about what a mulligan is?
How many are you allowed out there on the golf course?
Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
I'm not playing with you. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean,
how many foot wedges do you get?
That's less than zero.
Oh, boy.
If you wanted to have...
How often are you allowed to tee it up in the rough?
How about a putt from the rough?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
If you want to have a friendly match, and this is generally what I play with, you get a breakfast ball. And that is if you need a second ball off the first tee, but that's it.
First tee. You hook one.
Yeah. Shankopotamus, right?
I'm not warmed up.
Tug Speedman.
Yep.
You just yank that thing into the woods off to the left, whatever.
Yep.
Left, right.
Breakfast ball.
A lot of guys will play with a breakfast ball. And I have... But mulligan, like I haven't used my mulligan yet. That's because you don't get one.
Yeah.
There's no mulligan. What are we doing?
What's your range for a gimme putt? How far out is that? Like the green, on the green? On the green, give it to me?
Depends on who I'm playing with.
Okay.
You know?
Uh-huh. That's an indirect answer. I don't like that's an indirect answer. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
I like to play fast. So yeah. I'm more inclined to give putts than not. Pick it up. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Come on. Keep moving. If you're going to play golf, Jones, mm-hmm. you should endeavor to be two of the three things, right?
Okay.
Be good, be fast, be fun.
I might have two of those.
I have two of them. I'm not
like
good.
I have two.
But I play fast. I'm a good
Is there a cutoff for, if you're not good, is there a cutoff for how bad you're allowed to be? Because that can hurt the speed. That can hurt the speed and the fun.
Not if you're playing correctly. And look, if I'm in my pocket, right? If mm-hmm. if I'm laying four, you know, and somebody and everyone else up on the green in regulation, and I am absolutely 100% out of the hole. I am in my pocket. I'm up there tending the pin and talking smack. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Keep going. Right? I'm not good enough to get angry. That's what I have to. I want to get angry because I want to be good. I won't let me. Be good, be fast, be fun. Be two of those three things. So if you're really, really bad, put your ball in your pocket. Pick it up. Let's go. Let's go. Forget it. I'm out. Hmm. Where's your ball? I'm out of the hole. Let's go.
It's a breakfast ball. It's a breakfast hole.
No, it's not.
Breakfast hole.
Ron Renicki might be a Renaissance man.
Might be.
Ron Renicki is a Renaissance man.
Is a Renaissance man.
And if you don't know why.
He's a Renaissance man.
Man, are you about to find out why? Mm. Coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's the connection?
I gotta be honest, I know this song, but what is it?
I don't know what
I'm tapping along with my foot here. I know it, but what is it?
What's the connection? We're getting
Someone's
ready to talk about
like
Ron
it.
Renicki, Renaissance Man.
It's a Danny DeVito movie. Is that what's going on?
Is this from a Danny DeVito movie?
No, I'm wondering. He was in Renaissance Man, wasn't he? That was Danny DeVito.
On wood.
That's it. There it is.
I like the version of this in Roadhouse, where the waitress she gets up on stage and sings a little bit. And the only thing we really know about her is she went up to Dalton's loft there in the barn and brought him a coffee and a donut, and he got out of bed naked. And she said, when she saw his naked hiney, that got her all hot and bothered.
That'll
but
happen.
Those were her two big scenes. Dalton's naked hiney and singing this song up on stage in the Double Deuce. Hmm. That's it. All right, so Ron Renicki.
Good agent that got her that gig.
How about Ron Renicki's agent to give him this article written about him on Mass Live? Ron Renicki, Boston Red Sox manager. This is the headline. It's very old-timey newspaper.
Right. I'm going to get you into a Mass Live here. No, I can't get you into the Globe. We're going to get you into a Mass Live is what we're going to do today.
The newspaper headline has a very 1920s newsboy ring to it. Ron Renicki, Boston Red Sox manager, builds 14.5-foot dining room table out of a slab of black walnut. Quote, I have a lot of hobbies. End quote. That's the headline.
Yeah, it's a little wordy, but it gives you... Paints a good image, doesn't it?
They probably don't have a separate headline writer at Mass Live. That'd be my guess.
Ron Renicki, Boston Red Sox manager. Good.
Built 14 and a half foot dining room table out of slab of black walnut, semicolon. Quote, I have a lot of different hobbies, end quote.
Right. Well, you want to know how big the table is and what it's made out of. Couldn't just say you built a table. And you need to get in the part about the hobbies. I don't disagree. They need to identify who Ron Renicki is because I don't think a lot of people know who the Red Sox manager is.
Good.
So I think you need Boston Red Sox manager there. I do think you need that. Maybe the walnut and the size of the table and everything. You could leave that out.
Sox skipper
RR.
But yeah, I mean, you could accomplish the same thing as a Sox skipper or a handyman, you know, or
yeah, right.
Sox skippers.
More to Sox skipper than meets the eye.
What? What did he do? Well,
Ron Renicki's got 14 and a half feet, but it's not what you're thinking.
Scroll. Scroll to keep reading.
Yeah. Want to see what's 14.5 feet? Click here.
NSFW. Dateline Fort Myers, Florida. Ron Renicki isn't just the manager of the Red Sox. He's a talented woodworker. Quote, I do everything. I guess the thing I probably like the best.
It's a little off-putting to just come right out with that. Like,
I do everything.
It's a little cocky.
I guess the thing I probably like the best is I built a 14 and a half foot dining room table out of a slab of black walnut.
Yeah, we know. It was right there in the title. We saw it.
It's like somebody got a name, Woodshop.
It was right there in the headline. We already got that. You don't need to repeat yourself, Ron.
So my wife and I drove up Oregon Way, said Renicki. Mm-hmm. We rented a car trailer. I have a truck. And we got the slab I wanted and forklifted it on this thing, and we drove it back to California. And then I took it and I sanded it all down. Uh-huh. Got it to where I wanted it. I have parties. It turned out really cool.
I whittled that out of beech wood.
Well, sounds like a fun party.
How long does something like that take you, Ron?
I mean, how about just the drive up the coast from L.A. all the way up to Oregon? That's not a quick drive with your wife. That's a long drive. Then you got to drive all the way back. You're going to need some time standing that table down after you spend that much time with your wife.
Yeah. There's a lot of time in the garage.
A lot of time in the car.
That's taking forever to build.
Yeah, not too bad. About 70 hours. Which isn't bad considering I carved it all by hand from one piece of wood.
The slab is 3 inches thick. The wood grain in it is absolutely beautiful, he said. Hmm. We have from masslive.com the other list of things that he likes to do. Woodworking, we know that one.
Yep.
He likes to fish, hunt, read, play golf, tend to a garden of fruits and vegetables, travel to the Cape, mm-hmm. travel other places, lots of things.
The guy, right there. Yeah, he likes to do all that stuff. Hey, golf.
What's the most impressive?
You could get him on the golf show. He's kind of a bit of an everyman.
What's the most impressive thing you've ever made for your home? Or, you know.
Oh, it's not impressive. Let's see. What's the most impressive thing I've done?
Or just even engineered something in your home.
We had a long cable for our television. I had to kind of hide that with one of those wire things there. The wire covers there. I had to.
Okay.
Had to do that. It's about the most impressive thing.
That's something. A lot of people are
That's about the most impressive.
Content to let those things hang down the wall. Not
nah,
you.
It's too long.
Not Adam Jones.
Nope. Had to hide that wire.
How about
what is it? It's an altar. Or you might call it a hopa.
I've been meaning to build a hopa at my home, yeah.
With the little petals turn into a bird bath, collect rainwater. That's my silly romantic notion. What about you, McCone? Did you ever build anything?
An IKEA entertainment center. But I got to be honest, too, it's like 50-50 every time you put something on it, whether or not it's just going to come straight down.
And
yeah, it's not.
Ron likes building entertainment centers. I read that right in there. Entertainment centers, tables, mantles, wines. He built a wine cellar lined with cedar, and he also makes utensils out of wood.
Built a wine cellar, so obviously already had the cellar, and then just, what, built wine racks in it?
I don't know.
I mean, how do you build a wine cellar unless you're going to dig it? Did you really build a wine cellar unless you dug the hole?
Says he does everything right at the beginning.
did you drive up to Oregon and put an excavator on the back of the trailer and drive that down?
Yep.
I have a truck.
Yeah, I bet he likes
doing lots of things.
Yeah.
I hope he speaks like that during the season, like bullet points, just bullet points.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Took it, sanded it down, got it where I want it. I have parties. Turned out cool.
I have parties.
Now, I just put a fresh coat of lacquer on this morning, so bear with me with the fumes.
Well, I think it's nice that he has other things to occupy his time once the Red Sox find out they haven't been punished all that much and want to bring Alex Cora back for 2021. That way you can return to your hobbies, Ron. You won't spend as much time at the ballpark anymore.
Right. Well, or it just tells you how boring baseball is. He's just constantly working on all these other things.
Just going to whittle this wood.
Reading. He also says he reads a lot during the baseball season. Exactly. Yeah. So
reading, whittling, all that other good stuff that he's doing. But yeah, you're right. Whenever Cora comes back or the next manager, you know, whenever Ron's done with this this season in purgatory for him, he's got plenty to get back to.
He makes his own cooking utensils out of wood, which I do like a nice wooden spoon.
Yeah. The salad tongs there. I bet you can make those.
Oh my God. How about a cutting board?
I was just going to say cutting board. You beat me to it. Cheese board?
Charcuterie board.
Yeah, well, it's more of a charcuterie. I bet he's not just eating cheese.
No.
No, you're going to have a little meat on that plate. So yeah, charcuterie board.
How about some of the fish that he caught? Pheasant that he shot?
Yeah. You think he jams? I bet he jams. I don't mean like with a band. I mean, he does like some canning and some jamming. I imagine.
Up in Vermont, your family had to do canning when you were a kid.
No, there's no canning.
There's no canning?
Nope. We didn't even run our own our maple sugar lines. We didn't even do that. Nope.
Oh.
Nope. No, we were looked down. We were looked down on by the other Vermonters. Yeah.
Our marketing manager, Kelly, just tweeted that the perfect guest for Tool Bags, Maz and Dan O'Brien.
Oh, my God.
This
they got
to
get
him on. Imagine?
Yep.
Well done, Kelly. Absolutely right. All right. Well, feel free to call in on the Red Sox offseason move so far or with your most impressive home improvement project. And no real, like, carpenters, please. I don't want to hear from any, like, you know, journeymen out there.
Yeah.
Right? If you're an insurance salesman by day, but at night you built your own outdoor pizza oven, that's what we want to hear about, you know? Mm. I don't want to hear from a guy who is a licensed contractor, you know, who did his own guest bath. Well, that's what you do.
Right.
You know, I want to hear from Joe Schmo who built a, you know, perpetual motion machine, something, anything like that.
What is it? It's an altar. Or you might call it a hopa.
617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Adam Jones in for Beetle and Zoe, which it is Zolak and Bertrand. We had a discussion about that. Not Beetle and Zoe.
I always refer to it as Beetle and Zoe.
Most people do.
It's very disrespectful, apparently.
Well, disrespectful to one,
but
highly respectful to the other.
Either way, I don't hear Hardy anywhere in there. But then that opens up a can of worms, because where's Arcand at night?
I asked for that in my last contract, and they said no.
Oh.
So there you go. And it does open up the Arcand thing.
Because anytime I bring up, boy, I was never in the Shaughnessy title, all of a sudden now Arcand's like, well, and I'm like, right, now I get it, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Catalyst was in it, right?
Yep. Catalyst and Jones.
Was it Cattles and Jones?
Mm-hmm.
It was Cattles and Jones.
Yep. Well, that's well in some people's mind. Yeah.
What was the name of the show?
It was the Adam Jones Show.
Oh,
it wasn't actually Cattles and Jones.
Okay. Okay. All no, right. No. Well, that's what we just asked you three times. Was it Cattles?
Yeah.
And
it was.
Jones?
A, well, it was a joke. I wasn't being honest. I was being less than honest. I'm sorry. Prominently featuring
We're
Adam
back.
Jones.
That was your voice? That was his voice saying, "We're back."
No, it's was that me?
Yes.
That wasn't me.
Yes, Zoe, you talked all over it. So.
The Sports Hub.
We're back.
That's Dan.
Oh.
That's not me. I'm not that smooth.
It kind of sounds like the start of Big Nate's show. Dan, I don't know if you are familiar with Big Nate, our intern
here. I met him this morning, yeah. He has a show?
You met Big Nate this morning?
Oh, maybe not. Who's this intern?
That's Tyler.
That's
I'm sorry.
Tyler.
I met Tyler then.
Tyler's the one who came spitting fire with the. He was all over the Brewsdar Gratterall trade. He like. What'd you call?
Brewsdar ate it all.
He was actually very supportive of the Red Sox decision. And he had changed my mind for about a minute, but then I thought about something else and I didn't think about it again. But he got his shot right there in that chair a couple of weeks ago and he knocked it out of the park.
Oh, wow.
Now, no pun intended. Hmm. It was great. No, Big Nate was last year. Listen to the start of Big Nate show. This is on the Curry College radio.
Nightmare.
Like it already.
You're listening to Big Talk with Big Nate on 91.5 WMLN.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Big Talk with Big Nate.
Gotta let those elements breathe.
Yeah.
Drive a truck in between the music and the talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't have anything layered. Don't make it seamless. Big,
no.
Fat seams everywhere.
It's Dan Shaughnessy, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're back.
The show ran itself, basically. Yeah, they didn't need me there. You could hear that. They didn't. What was I doing on that show? They didn't need me. Dan had it all covered.
Well, they needed you there because you were the only one who wasn't sleepy with their belly full of pancakes from the breakfast that he took everyone out to.
Let's not open up old wounds. Now,
who was invited to that pancake breakfast?
Seriously?
Yes.
It was Dan Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
It was Danny Picard. Courtney Fallon. And somebody else, and not me.
The morning before this show, Dan had a big breakfast for everyone who was working on the show.
I was like emailing Dan the night before. I'm like, hey, what are we thinking for the show tomorrow? What are we thinking for the show? And he went out and had the Rudy Fruity Fresh and Tootie with Courtney Fallon and Danny Picard and somebody else, yeah.
And just never mentioned it to you.
No, they all just rolled into the studio like 5 minutes before the show. And they're like, hey, we were just over at IHOP.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, great. I was here listening to audio.
Food coma.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God Jones is here to do the show.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that's true. There was somebody else I'm forgetting, too. There were four of them.
Holden Kushner? Was he there?
No, I don't think he made it. No.
No?
I don't think it was Holden Kushner. No.
That's fantastic.
Wasn't true.
All right. There's nowhere to go from here.
He used to. My favorite thing with that show was we remember the old studio. We used to have the phone number like literally right in your face. We had like those towers with like a plaque with like the phone number on it.
Yeah.
And he always used to mid segment be like, "What's the phone number here? What's it again?" I'd be like, "You know, 617-779 right there."
Yeah.
Yep. It's right there. That's really all I did though, was just give out the phone number and miss breakfast.
But you don't eat anyway, so it doesn't matter. Back then, you were probably eating a little bit.
I was eating a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not anymore.
Nope.
All right, let's get a headline here from Tim McComb. And then Red Sox calls. We got three of them on the board. Raj, Tom, Peter. Boom, boom, boom. Get to all three of your calls. We'll continue the Red Sox conversation and also revisit Peter King and Tommy Kern, what they had to say about Tom Brady yesterday here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We had this in the hopper yesterday for President's Day. All presidential themed songs, you know, Jackson 5.
I heard some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard some of it
yesterday. Clarence Carter.
Good one.
I played as much of that as we could, and then it gets a little bawdy for the daytime hours. Let's go to your calls here on the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. Hardy and Adam Jones in for Zolak and Bertrand. Raj in California, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I wish I could share some stories of building stuff or even building a fancy Rube Goldberg device, but unfortunately, no stories like that. But I will talk about the Sox. I completely agree with Hardy. I feel like that, you know, you had the commodity. You had an MVP candidate, and you should try to win with what you have now and deal with the future later on and take your lumps then. But you don't give something away like that.
It's just, it's baffling
it's
to me.
Exactly.
The number of times a team is not willing to ride out either a contract year with a player or in this case, okay, you're not going to re-sign him. All right. Even you can predetermine that. We are not going to spend $400 million or anywhere close to it. We're not going to do it. He is going to play for your team for another year. One of the inarguably best players in baseball will play for your team.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We had this in the hopper yesterday for President's Day. All presidential themed songs, you know, Jackson 5.
I heard some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard some of it yesterday.
Clarence Carter.
Good one.
I played as much of that as we could, and then it gets a little bawdy for the daytime hours. Let's go to your calls here on the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. Hardy and Adam Jones in for Zolak and Bertrand. Raj in California, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I wish I could share some stories of building stuff or even building a fancy Rube Goldberg device, but unfortunately, no stories like that. But I will talk about the Sox. I completely agree with Hardy. I feel like that, you know, you had the commodity. You had an MVP candidate, and you should try to win with what you have now and deal with the future later on and take your lumps then. But you don't give something away like that.
It's just, it's baffling
it's
to me.
The
number of times a team is not willing to ride out either a contract year with a player or in this case, okay, you're not going to re-sign him. All right. Even you can predetermine that. We are not going to spend $400 million or anywhere close to it. We're not going to do it. He is going to play for your team for another year. One of the inarguably best players in baseball will play for your team this year. Do you want him to? No, we're going to take these guys instead. Two of whom will almost certainly never amount to anything. And the other guy's got a broken back.
Yeah,
one of them will almost certainly never amount to anything.
You're talking about the luxury tax for a billionaire. So what's 1 or 2%? It's nothing to get the fans to come in and have a winning season, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the tax is a little more penal than that. I guess overall, when you're talking about the overall percentage of the payroll. It's really not. It's people have the wrong notion. And thank you, Raj, for the phone call.
Yeah, it's by how much you're over A, and right. It matters how many times you're a repeat offender. So if you're like a third time offender and you're way over, it's like it ends up being like dollar for dollar.
No, it's like at 40% at that point.
Whatever. The point is, it's not as punitive as people make it out to be.
And, no, even if it were dollar for dollar and you're a $20 million over the cap,
right.
That would cost you $20 million.
Correct.
Which is...
Because it's only the difference. It's not for the total payroll. Yeah.
Just a skosh under 10% of your total payroll for that year.
Right. And would you pay an extra 10, 15, 20 million to be a contender and have people actually show up to your ballpark as opposed to people tune you out? Red Sox are going to learn the hard way. That's what they should have done.
Well, but it's not just them. And this is the part of the like unspoken or in this case, spoken agreement among owners. Like, no, it just nobody really goes over the luxury tax for more than 1 or 2 years anymore. You know, you just take it back. They decided like this is the model you have to follow.
Yeah, so, it's collusion.
Kind of.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what it would be. I don't think that's unreasonable, by the way, that to think that owners would do that. Like I think owners kind of, you know, they're in their little billionaires club and they sit there and they run the sport and they say, hey, look, okay, fine, these are the rules on paper, but here's how it's actually going to run, and let's make a gentleman's agreement we're not going to do it.
Right.
And then, you know, there's whatever peer pressure from the other owners and they take notes on all these things. And I think that certainly happens in the NFL. I don't know why that wouldn't happen here.
Yeah, and it helps their case when they're dealing with free agents. And everyone's got the same story. Oh, they can't. They're not going to go that high because right. They have to be under the Well, why do they have to? Well, everybody does. That's just the thing. It's like a rule that's not a rule. Well, okay, well, that kind of sounds like collusion then, if they're all doing it to help keep salaries in check. Because let's face it, baseball salaries are talked about. Just last night I was talking to somebody about the $250 million Alex Rodriguez deal. And that was the deal that was going to force people away from watching baseball. There is no way am I going to, you know, sit there and watch a guy make a quarter of $1 billion to play this game, even if it's over the course of 10 years. That's it. I'm out. I'm push away from the table on that money. And now here we're at three, and Mookie wants 420.
Right. Now, if you could sign Mookie Betts for $250 million, that's how all salaries work in all sports. But, yeah, I mean, that would be – I mean, they're just going to keep escalating.
The baseball salaries are.
Exorbitant? Yeah. No, I mean, they're out of control because there's no salary cap.
And they've got the best CBA in major league sports.
Sure.
No question. Basketball, pretty good. Baseball's got it.
No, the basketball contracts are capped. I mean, it's a percentage of whatever the salary cap is, and there's a maximum amount of years. Like, there are caps on those.
All right, let's go to Peter. In Jamaica Plain. Peter, what do you got on the Red Sox in 2020?
Before, I got about 6 points. I'm a golf professional. Harry, you never give a one-foot putt to someone who has the yips. And one of my goals is to get on your show one day. But in any case, I wrote down a few things about the Red Sox that I'm higher on the Red Sox.
As an ode to John Henry, you wrote them all down. That's good.
Yeah, I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
No.
But I'll just write about 6 points, and then I'll let you guys talk about it. Rafael Devers at 23, I think he might be the best young hitter in baseball. I think Bogarts is the best shortstop in baseball.
That's two.
JD Martinez, top five hitter in baseball for sure. Okay. Ben Attendee's a really good hitter. They're not going to have a problem scoring runs. Then we get to watch Jackie Bradley play center field, and I'm higher on the pitching staff than you guys are. Thank God we got rid of Porcello and Price. But okay. I think I'm really high on Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yep.
I'm higher than most people are on Nathan Eovaldi.
You can say that again, Panama Red.
What?
Well, Peter, this is my point that I was making kind of a couple of days ago, and thanks for the call. The idea that this team was going to be bad, so you just cut bait with Mookie Betts and David Price, I think it's nonsense. I mean, he just rattled off between Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, Andrew Benintendi, and Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't know if I would use that as part of my argument.
I wouldn't, but yeah, maybe other people would.
You got a pretty good baseball team with Mookie Betts and David Price in there.
Sure.
But it's still a conversation as to whether or not they've got enough to beat the Yankees or be a wild card team. Without Mookie Betts and David Price, I don't think you have a chance.
No, I mean, look, subtracting David Price, I think, is a great thing. But subtracting Mookie Betts, I think, is what buries the team this year. And I'm with you. If they just brought everybody back, they're a playoff team. I don't know if they're winning the World Series, but they're a playoff team. They should have been a playoff team. And they decided instead to not have a season. And Jim just dropped this on our screen. But out of San Diego, one of the reports, Kevin Acey, the local reporter out there who covers the Padres, says Padres and Red Sox are still talking about Will Myers, which is like an awful contract. So would they be taking on bad money to bring on prospects? Like, that's the only explanation I could think of. Why would you be bringing in Will Myers, who's an awful contract, to make your team even worse this year? To what? To replenish more of the farm system? I mean, I guess that's what they'd be working on. So I don't know. I long story short, I don't know what they're doing other than wasting our time with the 2020 season.
It seems like a waste of time for anyone who wants to believe that they're somehow going to contend as much as they would have contended with Mookie Betts. And again, personally, I'm with you, Jones. I'm not sad that David Price is, you know, not going to be around to get all butthurt about something that may have been said about him by somebody up in a broadcast booth somewhere. No one has any patience for that. But there's still a better team with him.
Mm. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that.
Well, who do you want pitching in David Price's spot?
I don't know. Somebody else.
Just anybody.
Yeah.
Any starting pitcher that's available in baseball is going to be as good, if not better, than David Price.
If you told me all they did was take David Price off this team, I'd feel pretty good about what they've done. The fact that it's David Price and Mookie Betts, well, that kind of undercuts it. That creates a massive, massive issue for you. David Price as a pitcher was so last year. Like, he wasn't great. He had a 4.20 ERA. Everybody thinks Sale was terrible. Sale was, I think, 4.40. So they weren't that different as a pitcher last year.
No, but
one guy's an a-hole who takes over the entire clubhouse and takes away from the attitude and the mood in that clubhouse. And then the other guy actually goes out there and when he's right, is one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I don't think they're going to miss David Price.
But that attitude in the clubhouse was enough to win you a World Series in 2018.
Kind of. Both the Eck things happened in 17 and 19. And both those seasons got derailed in part by David Price. So by the time he showed up, when they were up 3-1 in the ALCS and actually pitched well against the Astros and then was great in the World Series, great. He hopped on once the duck boat was already out of the station. But, I don't know, he derailed things in 17, and he derailed things last year.
He was part of the derailment, for sure. But I think the larger point is, that team, the way it was constituted, obviously 108 wins is crazy. And you wouldn't expect them to be able to repeat that last year. But you didn't think there were going to be 84 wins either.
No, I thought they'd be better last year.
The truth of that team lies somewhere in the middle. And it would have lied, I believe, in the middle, had they brought back Mookie Betts and David Price for this year. They weren't going to be 108, but they weren't going to be 84. You know, you split the difference. A 96-win team, take that.
Sure.
You're going to get 96 wins out of this team the way they're set up right now?
No, they're not going to get 84 out of this team.
No. How about Tom in Newton? Tom, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys, just got a couple quick points for you on the Red Sox. The first one, you know, there were rumors, obviously, right after the Mookie Betts trade that, you know, ownership was feeling the heat. Maybe they were getting cold feet. You know, you had John Henry's comments yesterday. My question is just, you know, are they actually feeling the heat, or are they just paying it all lip service? And then one other thing real quick, this continued delay, you know, of MLB releasing its, you know, findings on the Red Sox just keeps getting pushed off. Do you think that there's anything going on behind the scenes between the Red Sox and the league that's delaying it, or is it just something on the league side? What do you guys think? Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Somebody floated that yesterday, that this deal with the Dodgers was part of like the league being involved on a macro level on this whole cheating investigation. Look, Dodgers, you guys got screwed a couple of times here from these teams that are cheating. So what we're going to do is help you orchestrate this trade to where you don't have to give up anything. And you get Mookie Betts for a year. You get David Price for some time. And we'll see how that goes.
Red Sox, we won't punish you. You get boned in this trade, but we won't punish you. Dodgers, you get all this stuff. Everybody keep quiet, and we'll get baseball back to normal. That's not a bad little theory.
It's tough to convince me of vast conspiracies, but I don't put it past Major League Baseball to say something as simple as, okay, here was the punishment for the Astros. Red Sox, not going to be quite as much. And then tell every other team in Major League Baseball, if we start really looking into this, we already know what's there. But if we look into it and there's more evidence that comes out that either we find or someone else comes up with, we're going to have no choice but to start, you know, doing some, you know, nuclear option type of stuff. Anybody want that? Or are you guys going to start behaving.
I like it. This was your theory?
That's my theory.
Wow, I like this.
You got everyone knock off the nonsense. We know what you're doing. And quite frankly, this isn't even completely in our control. If the Athletic comes out with another article and they've got good sources and they claim something like buzzers or electronics on another team, then we got, it's kind of out of our hands. But right now, as of this moment, everyone knock it off. The Astros got punished. The Red Sox are going to get punished a little bit. No one, we're not going to look into it anymore. If anything else happens, though, bloodbath, because their hand is going to be forced on it.
I like it. Good theory.
It's not a conspiracy. It's more of just an edict. It's not a mandate. It's a goal. It's a goal for Major League Baseball to have,
in Red Sox parlance,
no more horrible stories coming out about their sports and teams cheating their way to a World Series title, and other teams like the Red Sox hiring a pathological cheater and then having to fire him before any punishment really comes out about the guy. It is our goal not to have this happen anymore, so we don't burn down our own sport. It's not a mandate,
no,
guys.
It's a good goal.
But it's a good goal.
Bad mandate, good goal. I like it.
It makes sense to me. All right, let's continue with your calls and get back into the Tom Brady talk via Peter King and Tommy Curran columns from yesterday, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.